and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and then be raised on the third day. So he's predicting his death on the cross. He's predicting that he'll rise from the dead. Verse 22 says, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? Somebody rebuking their leader, the King of Kings, the one who made the wind. We say he's the master of the wind, but then he made the wind that he kind of controls. But Peter began to rebuke him. That's tough, huh? Saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Let me paraphrase that. What he says, say what? Come here, Jesus, I need to talk to you in the other room. He said, listen to me. You ain't going nowhere. And if anybody tries to put their hands on you, they're going to come through me. That's not going to happen to you. Now, I think in his mind, I believe that he thought he was doing a good thing. I think he thought he was in the best interest of Jesus. And I think sometimes we're like that as human beings. We actually think it's the best interest of our spouse or our friends or our work or our job, our leader, our kids, our church, our pastor, our congregation, as we're pastors. I think we think, hey, well, look what he says. Jesus flips it on him. He says, you ain't going nowhere. What are you talking about? If anybody tries to go that, I'm going to keep out a big bad Pedro. A big Petey, big bad Petey right here. Ain't nobody going to take you out. I'm right here. Look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. He said, this shall never happen to you. He said, Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, man. Let me read a different version. He says, you're an offense to me. You offend me, Peter, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. In other words, all you see is with your natural eye. You can't see in the spirit. Imagine that. Imagine a man like that, but yet God still used him. You know why? Because God always knows the frailties of humanity. And he knew Peter would get it together one day, but he had to have to go through some things. Verse 24 says, and Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then verse 26, look what he says. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Father, this week is Holy Week. This coming Friday is Good Friday. This Sunday, my God, there's a gap on Saturday where in the days that we're speaking about, that people didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They heard, but they didn't know on Sunday, the third day. On the third day, Lord, you rose from the dead. And you proved, not only that you are God, you proved your love for us. I pray down tonight, God, in this few moments that we're going to be together speaking, God, that you would speak to hearts, open up every mind, and use me, I pray. And as we pray a little bit later, as we get together and pray, God, may you hear from heaven, and may we begin to experience, my God, even now, miracles, God, the impossibilities, the things that have been spoke of, my God. May our faith go to another level. May we elevate our faith here tonight and this weekend in Jesus' name, and everyone said. Turn to somebody and say, can you believe Peter? And you can be seated. Now, I want to share three things real quickly that we need to understand about Peter. Not really Peter, but Good Friday. I could camp out on Peter, but this message is really not about Peter, but I had to throw it in for free right there. But three things we have to understand about Good Friday. You see, first thing is that Friday is the road or the path or the journey to Sunday. Good Friday, I mean, it's always, when I was younger, I used to wonder, why do they call it Good Friday if it's the day that Jesus' crucifixion? But it's a Good Friday. Aren't you glad that he died on the cross for you? See, if he hadn't died on the cross for us, we would have no hope of heaven. But because he did, we have that blessed hope. Friday is the road to Sunday. Good Friday is the day we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. But it's more than just remembering the crucifixion. You see, we have to recognize the fact that what signifies this Friday, this coming Friday in just a few days, is that it is the time, it's a call out all over stadiums and churches, and people are renting big hotel places to have services. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on around the world. One church that will not be having Easter service is Notre Dame, the Catholic Church Notre Dame there in Paris, France, because of the horrid fire that was broke out. Being a former firefighter, I was telling my wife, we were listening to it on the radio, and we were driving. I said, babe, I can't believe they're not putting no water on this thing. It's been an hour and a half, but today I found out that the wisdom of the chief of that fire department said, had we begun to pour the buckets, they had the buckets with the helicopters ready to go and dump water on top of this 900-year-old church. He says, but had we done that, it would not only have collapsed everything, we would have lost, they were able to keep a lot, but we would also damage and possibly destroyed other landmarks and other buildings right next to it. In his wisdom, again here, Peter, this is not going to happen to you. Everybody's shouting out, it's been an hour and a half, pour some water on that church for God's sake. They said they blamed it on there was too much traffic and there was no way to get the trucks in there. Come on, an hour and a half? You know, I was taught as a firefighter, as a young firefighter, I never did it. I wanted to do it so bad, but I never did this. But we were taught this. If you pull up to a fire hydrant, there's a car parked in there, and you shout out, anybody's car, move it. If they don't do it, you break the window, you put the hose through it like that, you take it through the other one, and you connect it. There was guys that I was on watch, some of the OGs I started with, they had done it before. I used to pray for that. Then I saw it in a movie, one of those movies, I forget, one of those firefighter movies. They did it, and I go, see, I wanted to do that. But I thought to myself, where's the water? Where's the water? You know what they did? They decided to go ahead and focus on one of the other adjacent buildings where the bell tower is at, and save that building, because that building they could save. And they let the other one burn out. But you know what? They were able to, there was some of the most important artifacts they thought were going to lose, and artwork, they were able to retrieve it, because there were brave men and women that went inside those buildings and brought stuff out. Why am I sharing about that? Because people all over the world, this weekend is the biggest weekend of Christendom. Good. In just a couple of days, I'm not saying this is a Good Friday service, but we're not having a Friday service. This kind of poses to be our Good Friday service tonight. And what it is, it really signifies is it's a call out, a shout out for people to come to the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. If you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose it for my sake, you're going to hold it. See, we want to embrace the resurrection, but first we have to embrace the cross. There's a famous verbiage that a lot of pastors will shout out this Friday. They'll shout out, say, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You hear it a lot. And you have to understand the reason for that is because our whole faith, the faith of Jesus and Jesus Christ of Christendom, is based on what happened. Now, we know there was a birth of Christ in a manger. We know Christmas, and we know, but what happened at the cross and the resurrection solidified the Christ, the Savior of the world, not only coming into the earth, but then going and paying the price for mankind's sin. And so, There's no Easter without the cross. There's no Christianity without the cross. There is no redemption of sin without the cross. Without the cross, we're just a social club. Without the cross, I'm not talking about a physical cross. Sometimes people say, well, where's our cross at? Why don't we cross over here? And, you know, a lot of people have crosses everywhere, but they don't serve the Lord. You know? See, there's no resurrection without the crucifixion. There's no Easter without the cross. Second thing we have to understand is that about Friday, Good Friday, is that it means the cross and Good Friday is the beginning of something. It's the start of something. It's the start of not just a religious event. It's not just it's not just something that we revere one time a year. We revere this signified day every single day. Every single day when we get up in the morning and say, Jesus, thank you for another day. I don't deserve it, but you gave it to me, and I'm going to do the best I can with it. Jesus, thank you for my sins being forgiven. And thank you, Lord. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, and I'll serve you in whatever way I can. You see, every day you proclaim Good Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let me tell you why. Because when you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you speak of Christ, you speak not only of his resurrection, you speak not only of the empty tomb, you speak not only of him ascending into heaven and him sending the Holy Ghost to the upper room, but you speak of the cross, my friends. You speak of a man who out of his own volition, out of his own willingness, went to the cross and allowed those Roman soldiers to place 9-inch nails in his feet and in his hands and his wrists, and nail him to that cross, and hang him on that cross for everyone to see. And you know, sometimes we see these pictures of Calvary, and we see these pictures way up on top, and a far distance away from, or just a handful of people in the pictures. But let me tell you something about the crucifixion of those days, of these wicked dictators and these men who were anti-Christ. Let me tell you something about it. That they didn't just crucify you off in the distance. They always crucified you where the public could see you. And so the cross is, you have to understand, the cross was a place of humility. The cross was a place of redemption. The cross was a place where everything was out in the open. And here Jesus is placed on a cross, and it's not off in the distance someplace in some of the artwork that you've seen, but it's on a very busy place. Calvary was not just a place off to itself. There was also a road by Calvary, because how many know the only way to get to Calvary is on the road to Calvary? And listen, I want you to know that if the cross, if there wouldn't have been a cross, there'd be no Easter. And so they would crucify men, they would crucify people on this, so that when people came by, they could look at them and say, oh, that wretched soul, I wonder what they did. And you know what? Can you imagine looking at Jesus and saying to yourself, wait a minute, isn't this the guy that was healing people? What could he be done that was so wrong? Isn't this the one that raised Lazarus from the dead? Isn't this the one that told the woman at the well that she was going to be okay and she became an evangelist? Isn't this the one who got that Roman soldiers, that captain guard? Didn't he get his child? Isn't he the one who healed the woman with the issue of blood? Isn't he the one that went down by the swimming pool down there and laid hands on the blind? Isn't he the one? Yet, there he hangs on the cross. Why do we need to know about Good Friday? Why can we never forget about Good Friday? Because thank God it was a Good Friday that we have a Savior that was willing to come and pay a debt we owed. Pay a price that we couldn't pay. You see, the cross changes everything. The cross changes it. Friday is the journey to Sunday. It's the road for Jesus. And it's the road for you and I. Third and lastly, if you can start playing. Jesus demonstrated faith on this Friday. Probably bigger faith than you see. You got to remember, he had a human body on purpose. He could have come a different way as a spiritual being. You see, the Jews of those days actually thought he was going to come as a warrior. They thought he was going to come like this general with a big array of battle gear on and say, okay, enough's enough. You're not messing with my people no more. But he didn't come. He came like a lamb to the slaughter, the Bible says. He came like a lowly. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He didn't ride in on a Rolls Royce. He didn't ride in a limo. He rode in on a donkey, one of the poorest things he could have rode on. Huh? They didn't put any kind of scarlet on him or any kind of beautiful arrangements. They just put palms. Just put palms. All they just threw it. He came in as a king. He died as a savior. When he rose from the dead, he rose and proved that he was not just a king or a savior. He was God incarnate. He was God in a man's body. But because he was in a man's body, he felt the pain of death. Oh, every time they hit one of those nails. Oh, every time they whipped him with that, at the end of the whip, there was the cattail as the flesh tore from his body. Oh, imagine the pain he felt. Every time he felt that pain, every stripe on his body, he was thinking about you and me. Say there, by that stripe, you're healed, Danny. I'm going to heal your mind. I'm going to heal your family. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to save you. See, there are two phrases that Jesus uttered on that cross. He said, why have you forsaken me? And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commend my spirit. Even while dying, he showed us how to trust the Father. Now you think about those two phrases. One of them, you're forsaking me. And the next one is, I commit myself to you. Think about it. Think about that for a moment. What are those two phrases? They sound so contradictory. They sound so opposite, but they're not. They fit hand in hand. Because in one hand he says, I feel separated from you right now. Because the sins of the world were on him. There'd be no sin in God's eyes. In the very split second of time, he says, nevertheless, I commend my spirit to you. What he was saying is that even in your deepest pain and your deepest sins, you can trust the Father. You can trust the God who created everything because he loves you. Jesus had predicted his death and resurrection. It's one thing to predict your death, and it's another one to go to the cross and actually die on that cross. Even though he shared it with them, these guys didn't understand it. Peter couldn't understand it. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't give up on us? Remember when he rose from the dead? He didn't ask for Matthew or John, the favorite. He asked for Peter the reed. He says, Mary, where's Peter? Where's big bad Peter? Where's Pedro? She says, he's back at the place hiding with everybody else. Go tell Peter I'm alive. Run over there and tell Peter I can't wait to talk to him. That's the Savior we see or serve. That's the Friday cross, the Sunday resurrection. And the next day starts everything. Your life starts. Stand to your feet with me. See, we need to understand some things about Good Friday before we celebrate this Sunday. Huh? Let's never forget that there's no Easter without the cross. There's no resurrection without the cross. I want to call an altar call for you tonight. For two people. For two kinds of people tonight. For some of you that say, it's been a long time since I was thoughtful of what happened at the cross for me. I've been going about my busy life, 8 to 5 in it, 7 to 3 in it, 12 to 6 in it, whatever it is. Just going about my life so concerned about me. So concerned about this. So concerned about that. That I literally have forgotten what took place at that cross. And I just want to come to this altar call tonight in an attitude of gratitude that I know in my heart about the cross. I know that Jesus died for me. But it's been a long time since I was just all out grateful for what happened at the cross, for the paid price of His blood. And then secondly, I want to call an altar call for those of you that say, I have never in my life surrendered myself to that cross. I have never in my life absolutely just said, okay, it's it, that's it. I surrender myself. I want to deny myself, and I want to pick up my cross, and I want to follow Jesus Christ from this day forward. If that's you here today, I'm not going to make you raise your hands. I'm not going to plead with you. I am not going to go through a whole bunch of steps with you. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. And as they take it to the next level, I just want to ask you to come. And I want you to find a place at this altar. And if you say, that's me you're talking to, I had almost forgotten. Or I didn't forget, but I'm reminded about how much God loves me. Or you might be saying, I'm that one, Pastor. Pray with me. Lead me to Christ. I want to give my life, and I want to surrender my life over to Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to come up to the front quickly. Oh, just find a place at the altar. So you're talking right to me, Jesus.
Make me a house of bread. Fire on my altar.
I never want to forget.